From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello everyone, I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Vayetze, Genesis 28:10 to 32:3. I'm going to be starting my discussion this week at Genesis 31, verse 3. The Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers where you were born, and I will be with you." He, of course, is taking care of Laban's flocks. All of his sons have now been born, except for Benjamin. And Jacob had Rachel and Leah called to the field where his flock was, and said to them, "I see that your father's manner toward me is not as it has been in the past, but the God of my father has been with me. As you know, I have served your father with all my might, but your father has cheated me, changing my wages time and again." If I'm remembering right, literally it's 10 times. God, however, would not let him do me harm. If he said, "The speckled shall be your wages," then all the flocks would drop speckled young. If he said, "The streaked shall be your wages," then all the flocks would drop streaked young. God has taken away your father's livestock and given it to me. And he goes on in this vein for a bit, until he then tells his wives that he has had a dream where an angel of God said to him, "I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and leave this land and return to your native land." Then Rachel and Leah answered him, saying, "Have we still a share in the inheritance of our father's house? Surely he regards us as outsiders, now that he has sold us and used up our purchase price. Truly all the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, do just as God has told you." So the phrase I want to look at today on the podcast is, "Have we still a share in the inheritance of our father's house?" Nachum Sarna comments on this phrase, "The question is rhetorical. From the way the idiom is used in 2 Samuel 21 and 1 Kings 12:16, it's clear that the declaration carries with it both a repudiation of another's claim on one's loyalty and a renunciation of allegiance. We will come back to those two verses later. First, a quick look at the Anchor Bible commentary of Ephraim Spicer. He translates this phrase as an heir's portion, literally, quote, portion and inheritance. And he explains in parentheses, it's a hendiadys. What is a hendiadys? Robert Alter to the rescue. He translates, any share in the inheritance. The Hebrew literally share and inheritance is a hendiadys, two words for one concept. Right? Hendiadys comes from Greek, hein diadys, one through two. Two words for one concept, like part and parcel. With a denotative meaning as translated here, any share in the inheritance, and a connotation something like any part at all. What are they talking about? Rashi asks, "Have we still a share?" And comments, "Why would we stop you from leaving? Do we have any expectations of inheriting any of our father's property with all these males around?" Genesis 31 begins with Laban's sons doing something to Jacob and Jacob noticing how he's being treated by them. It sounds as if the daughters are not going to get anything because everything is going to go to them, or at least that's what they think. John Levinson in the Jewish Study Bible says, Rachel and Leah refer to the institution of the bride price, a gift that the groom paid his fiancée's father. This text suggests that in some cases it was used to benefit the bride herself. Laban, they complain, in agreement for once, Leah and Rachel are both saying the same thing, which is not usual for them. Laban has consumed the bride price, probably in the form of Jacob's labor, without concern for them, in effect disowning them. So the precise details of what they are complaining about, if they took this to court and accused their father of a tort, some sort of financial wrong against them, it's not exactly clear what the details of their complaint would be. But Levinson is somewhat hinting, I think, at an argument that was presented 80 years ago, more, by Miller Burroughs in an article called The Complaint of Laban's Daughters, who says, the simplest interpretation of the complaint of Laban's daughters in the light of the ancient Near Eastern material that he goes into at great length in this article in the Journal of the American Oriental Society in 1937, would be that Laban had used up their bride price, whereas by implication he should have either given it to them or held it for them in trust, using at most the income derived from it. Well, some of you will know that I'm very much on the side of Adele Berlin in not wanting to derive legal details from a narrative where it's clear that the legal details are part of what's moving the plot forward and may have been shaped for that purpose rather than representing something technical on the ground at that moment. I want to go back and look at this phrase a little bit more closely. Have we still a share in the inheritance? Ha od lanu chelek venachala. Ha, question mark, starting to show you that what follows is going to be a question. Od, still. Lanu, we have. Chelek venachala. Chelek, a share, a portion. And nachala, something that we will inherit. The Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament tells us about this word chelek. It has social overtones. The portion is something in which giver and receiver, the individual or small group, and the community have an equal interest. The portion, defined in economic or other terms, maintains the individual or small group, and society is based on the totality of all portions. Well, in this discussion in TDOT, it's by Matityahu Tzfat, and he's actually talking about the book of Nehemiah, but I'm turning now to a discussion by Sarah Schechtman. She's a member of our Brandeis Bible Mafia. In a volume called The Pentateuch, her contribution to this from 2011 is called Rachel, Leah, and the Composition of Genesis. What she's talking about is that with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three of them are married to girls from the old country, and in fact from their extended family, the extended family of Abraham's father, Terach. But, she says, This emphasis on the matriarchal family, so important for the first generations, disappears with Jacob's sons. The wives of only three of the sons are mentioned at all, but they clearly all were married, and they all retain the status that in earlier generations only one of multiple brothers had. So we're faced with a conundrum. The same marriages that were so critical a generation before are narrated in these cases in a most unremarkable fashion, or are ignored entirely. That's the 12 sons of Jacob. Why this sudden shift in marriage requirements? Why are all the heirs not required to find wives from the right family? The answer lies in Genesis 31, the story of the separation of the Israelites from their connection with the Arameans, and particularly in the role that Rachel and Leah play there. Marriage with Terahite women is not only no longer required, it is not even possible after this point. And I have a little bit more of her article on the page there, on the handout there, for you to read, and you can go find it in this edited volume if you want more. But there's a couple of other aspects of this phrase, chelek v'nachala, that I want to look at. The first place is where it occurs so frequently in the Torah. Five times in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 10:9 says, that is why the Levites have received no hereditary portion along with their kinsmen. The Lord is their portion. What is a hereditary portion? It is a chelek v'nachala. And that same phrase occurs in Deuteronomy 12:12, 14:27, 14:29, and 18:1. All of them with regard to the Levites not having chelek v'nachala, just as Rachel and Leah say they don't have any more back home with their father Laban. Well, longtime listeners know that the book of Genesis seems to have been written with one eye on the story of David. Nachum Sarna told us that this idiom of chelek and nachala occurs in Samuel and Kings, and Sarah Schechtman also discusses those two instances, so we're going there now. 2 Samuel 20, verse 1, 2 Samuel 20 is the story of the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, a scoundrel named Sheva ben Bichri, according to the new JPS translation of this chapter, rebelling against King David. He sounded the horn and proclaimed, this is in Evel Beit Ma'aka, up in the north of Israel, we have no portion in David, ein lanu chelek b'David, no share in Jesse's son, velo nachala lanu b'ven Yishai. Every man to his tent, O Israel. And what's going on in 1 Kings 12? That is when the united monarchy of David and Solomon splits into two with, you guessed it, the northerners saying, we have no portion in David, ma lanu chelek b'David, no share in Jesse's son, velo nachala b'ven Yishai. As I will one day say in this book about biblical poetry that I hope I'm going to end up getting to write, one of the things you do to create biblical parallelism, the way they have here, for example, by putting David in one line of a phrase and Ben Yishai, Jesse's son, in the next line, another way to do that is to take a pair of words that go together, X, V, Y, and put word X in the first line and Y in the second line. Chelek v'nachala, ein lanu chelek v'nachala, ha'od lanu chelek v'nachala. Now, the Israelites, Northern Kingdom Israelites, are saying, ma lanu chelek velo nachala lanu. Schechtman adds, the rebels are illustrating, through the use of metaphor, their political and social disenfranchisement from the Davidic kingdom. Likewise, in Genesis 31:14, the sisters are referring not to a literal inheritance of property or possessions, but rather to their place, symbolically speaking, within Laban's family. They view themselves and Jacob and their children as having nothing to gain, not just monetarily, but also socially and as a family, from staying with Laban. For some reason, it reminds me of something that you used to see in the newspaper a lot. They still do publish legal notices there. I don't know if they still have these. The legal notices used to say over and over again, I, so-and-so of such and such an address, am responsible for my debts and signature only. Debts and signature, I have to think, is a hendiadys in that phrase, saying, if I didn't personally sign for it, I ain't paying it. My partner, my ex-spouse, or whatever it is, may tell you that I'm responsible, but I'm out of here. I have no connection. And Rachel and Leah are saying that about their father, and the northern tribes are saying that to David, king of Israel, in the rebellion of 2 Samuel 20, to Rehoboam, David's grandson and Solomon's son, in the rebellion in 1 Kings 12. And Rachel and Leah are saying it here about their dad, partially because they are making a clean break, as the Israelites did from the house of David, but partially also because now, as with the Levites who will descend from Leah, the Lord is their portion. Which of those things did our writer have in mind? I'll be back with you next week for Parshat Vayishlach. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying, thank you for listening.